We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Good afternoon, Anthony Hancock's residence. His secretary speaking. No, he's not up yet. He's not taking any business calls anyway. You'll have to call back. Who shall I say called? Val Parnell. Right you are. I'll tell him you called, though I don't suppose he'll be particularly interested. Goodbye. I'm sorry, no hawkers or circulars.
Hello, Grizzly.
Hello, Griselda.
Or tramps.
How do you like that, Sid? What a way to greet old friends.
Yeah, I don't take any notice of her. I expect the price of food's going up again.
Well, look who it is. The oldest teddy boy in Cheam. I do believe your clothes get more repulsive every time I see you.
Do you mind? Let us in. There's a wind out here.
Well, it couldn't get up those trouser legs. It's a wonder your feet aren't dropping off through lack of blood.
Come on, let's jam. Go on, back up the stairs and let's get in.
Have you an appointment?
Oh, look, this is ridiculous. Let's in, Grizzly. It's raining.
Well, turn the other side of your bush hat down.
I don't understand it. We're his two oldest friends. We've been working with him for the last 4 years now.
Well, times have changed. Mr. Hancock is a big star now. He doesn't wish to associate with the likes of you anymore.
Well, you better not come that lark with me, or I'll fetch him a punch up the bracket.
There must be some mistake, Grizzly. Tubb left a message at Rowton House for us. He said for us to come round and talk about his new radio series.
But then you do have an appointment.
Well, we didn't look on it as an appointment, did we, Sid?
No. Why, if we'd known it was an appointment, we'd have put our bowler hats on.
Well, that's different. If you have an appointment, if the master wishes to grant you an audience, you may enter.
Thank you, miss. Should we take our boots off?
Oh, no. It'll be all right if you just walk on the wooden bits. Come in.
Hey, this isn't the 23 railway cuttings I used to know. He's had it done up. Look, wallpaper.
He has gone big time, hasn't he?
It's not the same, is it? He's put lino down. What was wrong with the sawdust? Hey, I wouldn't have recognized the place. He must have spent a fortune on it. Look, furniture.
Oh, well, I'm glad the boy's doing well. It's always nicer to have a posh place to bring a bird home to. I always used to feel a bit tatty bringing him here before. You know, making love by a candle stuck in a saucer, trying to get him. It was romantic.
I think I ought to warn you two, things aren't the same around here these days.
No?
No, the master's changed a lot since you last saw him.
What's happened to him?
Television. His last series had a bit of a success, and Mr. Hancock now considers himself a big star. I'm afraid it's gone to his head. He's not the same man you used to know.
I never thought Tubb would have a big head.
Oh, it makes me sick the way he's been carrying on lately. Won't go out without his dark glasses. He's bumped into 3 lampposts this week already. He's bought a long cigarette holder and has started calling everybody darling. Scared the daylights out of me with his latest one.
What's that?
He's been wandering down Cheam High Street with a leopard on a chain. He says if it was good enough for Battling Seeky, it's good enough for him.
He hasn't still got it, has he?
Oh, he has.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't be frightened. It's not in here. Horrible, ugly, spotted thing. Tiddles. Last time I saw it was out in the garden trying to pull the paper boy into the dog kennel. The postman calls these days carrying a chair and a whip. And have you seen the new fan photos he's had done? Look.
Oh, no. Oh, this is going too far. He should never strip to the waist with a figure like this.
He thinks it's rather sexy.
Hey, show me. Give it here. Sure. Blimey. Must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that.
I've never known a man change so much in a few weeks. He's acting like a prima donna. Lily of the Valley bath cubes, yellow silk pajamas. And can you smell anything?
Yeah, I can.
Mm-hmm. The joss sticks in his bedroom. It's 3 o'clock. He should be getting up any minute now.
Miss Pew? You see my Japanese kimono anywhere? Feeling rather oriental this morning.
It's hanging in the wardrobe next to your George Raft Bolero outfit.
Thank you. Pour the champagne on me, cornflakes. I'm coming down now.
See what I mean?
Champagne on cornflakes. I never heard anything like it in my life. Brown ale, yes, but champagne. Who does he think he is?
Who's wonderful? Who's marvelous? The answer is me. Who's lovable? Who's kissable?
Miss Pugh. You fed Tiddles this morning?
No. And the paper boy's in the kennel, trying hard not to.
Oh, dear, I hope Tiddles doesn't scratch him. She might chip her claw varnish.
I believe you asked these two gentlemen to come round and see you.
Hiya, Tub.
Hello, Puddin'.
I think we can do without the familiarity. Tub and Puddin'. In the past, I have tolerated these vulgarisms regarding my somewhat corpulent physique simply because I was in no position to do otherwise. Times have changed, me fine fellows. I am a new star. What? You mind? I am a new star, and you will address me in future as befits a man in my position. I will henceforth be known as Mr. Hancock, or Your Grace, whichever suits me best.
Yes, Mr. Hancock. Your Grace. Your Lordship. Nah, it's no good. I always think of you as Puddin'.
As you will, as you will. He who laughs, He who laughs, As you wish. Now then, gentlemen, to business. As you know, I've asked you to come round here to talk about the new radio series.
Boy, am I glad that's starting again.
That's just it. It is not starting.
Are you kidding?
You can't just throw away the chance to make an easy look like that. What's the matter with you?
Fame is such a transitory, fleeting thing. I've reached the top of my profession. I am now a famous television star. I've given comicking all I have. Time has come for me to retire.
But you're only 33.
Genius knows no age. Beethoven was composing at 9. Chopin's best work was composed before he was 20. Van Gogh was at his height at 27. Why should I work any longer than that mob? It's impossible for me to go any higher. I have reached immortality. The world is at my feet. I've had an offer from Madame Tussauds, so I'm turning it in now. I shall become a male Greta Garbo. I shall retire from public life and shun publicity.
What makes you think you're so popular? Blimey, he gets one fan letter from some nut in Barnsley and he talks about retiring.
He was not a nut. It was a very well-composed letter. A man of obviously great intellect. He had a keen mind. Points he made about my great talent were unquestionable. The fact that he also asked for a quid to tide him over Christmas has no bearing on the matter. He made me realise just what affection the public have for me, just what I mean in their lives. For their sakes, I can't risk destroying the legend that is Hancock, the one tangible thing they can cherish and hold on to in their everyday humdrum existence.
You great big-headed lump.
Miss Pugh, you are fired. Pack your stuff in the tablecloth and leave.
Oh, shut up. They're quite right. You're nobody. The public couldn't care whether you stopped, start, or never began. Why don't you think about other people for a change? What about Mr. Kerr and Mr. James?
Yeah, what about us?
Well, they don't want to be out of work, even if you do. Look at them. They've neglected their own careers to help you to make a bit of a name for yourself.
Careers? Them? Careers? You've picked the right couple there. Look at them. The Bowery boys strike again. You there. The one polishing his fingernails with the boomerang.
Who, me?
Yes, you rat bag. What career did you sacrifice? What dizzy heights would you have risen to?
Well, my mother always wanted me to be the Prime Minister of Australia.
And what were you when I met you?
Well, I was in the timber business.
You were selling matches. And the other one, you, Sydney Balmoral James. We've come to the cream now, of course. The logical successor to Babyface Nelson. Come on, tell us, come on. We're all waiting to hear. What praiseworthy position did I prevent you from attaining?
Well, my dad wanted me to go into the police force.
Well, you've been with them enough times. I remember what you were doing when I took you under my wing. You were crawling through my bedroom window with a striped jersey on, a black mask, and a large sack on your back marked swag. And what did you say when I turned the light on? Come quickly, doctor, me mother's ill. I was halfway down the stairs looking for me little black bag before I cottoned on. If it wasn't for me, mate. Yes. If it wasn't for me, the old breadwinner here, both you two would be in the workhouse. Human derelicts, both of you. I've carried you two long enough. This is the end of the line. The gravy train has just hit the buffers. You are now on your own. I do not need you anymore.
Yeah, but what about me own mother?
What about my wife and the three kids?
I have spoken.
Wait a minute, son. Wait a minute. You've forgotten something, mate. I'm your agent, remember? I got a contract with you.
Contract? You've been holding that thing over my head for 5 years now, allowing me to keep 10% of everything I earn. Never once did you let me see it. Well, I took the liberty of removing it from your wallet last week.
Oh?
Yes, mate, you may well just say, oh. When I think of the money you've made just by waving in front of me a Board of Trade license for the export of cattle to the Belgian Congo... Well, no more, matey, no more. Our association is at an end. Both of you will have to make your own way through life from now on, and I will give you both a week before you're on relief.
Oh, look, Tub, please, don't give up show business. Do take the series.
No, no, it's the only way. It's a pity I'm such a big name in such great demand. If I wasn't the greatest thing in the country, I might be tempted to go on, but, well, as it is, there's only one thing that bothers me.
What's that?
How am I going to break it to the BBC? They're relying on me to keep their listening figures up. They'll be desperate when I tell them. They've got nobody to replace me, you see. I mean, who is that?
Well, there's...
There's no one. No one at all. I don't know how I'm going to tell them. It'll probably mean the end of radio, a bombshell like this. They're probably up there in the Director General's office making out their winter schedules, working out their programs. How am I going to tell them I'm not going to work for them anymore?
Your point is, how are we going to tell Hancock the BBC doesn't want him anymore? I mean, it's all right and starting. It's now one or two quite good shares for us. But I saw that last television series of his. Did you, sir? Exactly. I didn't like it either. He's obviously past his peak. He's slipping. In my opinion, he's burnt himself out. And therefore, I suggest we drop the Hancock series and spend the money on that idea of yours, sir. 20 weeks on the third program of Obscure Trends in the Music and Architecture of Neolithic Man. The problem is how to tell him. It's going to be very unpleasant. The man's such an egomaniac. I think we'll do a mugridge on him. Perhaps we could pay him and not use him. Rather expensive, but we must protect the public from the embarrassment of hearing him. Look, the best thing to do is to ask him to come in and have a conference, and we'll break the news to him. It's going to be very difficult. Well, thank you for talking to me, sir. I won't take up any more of your valuable time. Goodbye, sir.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to tell them. It's going to be very unpleasant. I'll just have to go in and have a conference, and I'll break the news to them then. Of course, they won't let me go, but I'll just have to be firm.
Well, I suppose this is it. No more work. I suppose I'll have to go back to Australia.
What will you do out there?
Oh, he'll be all right. He'll find something. With his tucker bag slung round his billabong in and out the bush. Sitting on his kangaroo hunting for swag men, he'll be all right.
What are you going to do, Sid?
Oh, I don't know. I'll probably open a shop somewhere, and if I don't get caught, I might open some more.
Well, then, that's you two settled. Now, Miss Pugh, perhaps you'd be good enough to get in touch with the BBC and fix up an appointment. I'd like to get it over with as soon as possible. I must say, I feel a little sorry to be leaving show business just when it needs me most. I think I'll go up to my room and weep a little. Good man, are you the commissionaire of this edifice?
I am.
Come to see the gentleman in charge of the variety programmes. Pray inform them I am without.
Oh, have you got an appointment?
I don't have appointments, I make them. I am Tony Hancock.
Who?
Tony Hancock, H-A-N. I don't have to spell my name to the likes of you.
National figure, household name.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Don't you ever watch television?
Of course I watch television. I never miss a programme.
Well, then you must recognize me. I've just finished a series.
Yeah? Let's have a look at you. Yeah, turn round. No. I thought I had it then. Yeah, give me a clue.
I am not giving you any clues.
Well, what adverts do they have splitting you in half?
I don't have any adverts splitting me in half.
You're not the airy one who pours the tea over his head.
No! No, I am not.
Well, I give up. I only watch the ones with the adverts in. What do you want to see the eye-ups for, anyway?
Well, I've been asked...
After a job, I suppose.
No, I am not.
Crawling around for a job, eh?
I am not crawling around for a job, as you so quaintly put it.
Yeah, don't give me that. All you theatricals are the same. All front with you lot. Camelier coats, big cars, and nothing to eat. Yes, I've seen you all in the pub round the corner. Half a bitter and a cheese biscuit. Yes. Oh, my word, yes. I'm doing a new series, you know. Oh, my goodness, darling. Our day's work would kill 'em. I've nothing but the greatest contempt for you lot.
Well, you're dead right, of course. I know exactly what you mean, but in the meantime, will you kindly inform the hierarchy that I am here?
Yeah, all right. Hello, reception here. Is Mr. Tommy Hancock here to see you? Is it all right to send him up? Oh, it is. All right, then.
That's you, isn't it? Yes.
Go on, then. Room 326. And don't use the lift. It's reserved for the tea trolley. Oh, I do hate that class of people.
Well, you certainly put that commissionaire in his place, didn't you?
There's nothing you can say to a man like that.
Oh, this is it. Room 326.
Right. Now, just leave me to do the talking. It won't take long. I'll just come right out with it and tell them I don't intend to work for them anymore. No hard feelings. I've quite enjoyed the association, and no matter how much they plead, I will not be budged. Right.
Right.
Come in.
Now, look, this won't take long. I'll come right out with it. I do not intend to...
Hancock, old chap. Sit down. Have a cigar. A glass of South African sherry.
Oh. Oh, thank you, yes.
Now, you know these two gentlemen, of course.
Hiya, Tub. What's your pudding?
What are you two doing here?
We were asked here. Very nice, too.
I asked Mr. Kerr and Mr. James along, because after all, this does concern them as well.
Yes, I suppose it does. Well, this won't take long. I'll come right out with it. I do not intend to...
You haven't met the head of the BBC, have you?
No, how do you do? Yes, quite. Well, now... This won't take long. I'll come right out with it. I do not intend
to... Before you go any further, I'd just like to say how right you are in deciding to retire.
Thank you. How did you know?
We told him.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, we thought we'd save you the embarrassment, seeing as how you've been so good to us in the past.
Thank you very much. Well, now, of course, there are one or two things to talk about. I mean...
Rest assured, the BBC won't stand in our way. We are perfectly prepared to let you go.
Yes, but we...
Now, wise you are to retire while you're still at the top. I must say, we greeted the news with the utmost relief.
You were pleased?
Of course.
You weren't worried at the prospect of not having me?
My dear chap, we were delighted. For your sake, we were delighted. How much better to go now than to be a fading star?
Well, I'm not quite fading yet. I mean, I still have a few jokes I haven't touched yet.
You're so wise. Other comics just go on. But you've seen the danger.
Yes, but they're a lot older than me. I'm still popular. I suppose I could go on for a few years.
Oh, no. Go now, my boy. Go now.
Well, hang on. I haven't finished my sherry yet.
You're quite right. Retire now.
Yes, but what about me public? Yes, me public. I must consider...
Yeah, exactly. Care. Don't risk sullying the affection the public have for you.
Yes, but on the other hand...
Ah, for their sakes, you mustn't risk destroying the legend that is Hancock. The one tangible thing they can cherish and hold on to in their everyday humdrum existence. Goodbye, old fellow.
I am not moving till I finish my sherry. I just can't retire like this. I've got other considerations like... Yes, these two, Mr. James and Mr. Kerr.
Yes.
Yes. No. Can't just give it up and leave these two poor wretches. They depend on me for their very existence. That settles it. I feel bound to carry on. Where's the contract?
No, we can't allow you to risk damaging the memory you've left.
I insist. Where do I sign? Just here?
Don't worry about Mr. Kern, Mr. James. The BBC will take care of them.
All right, I'm not worried about them. Where do I sign? Where do I sign?
Oh, this is revolting. Get off the floor. Take it like a man.
The contract. Let me sign the contract. I'll cut my money down. Half of what I get. Three quarters.
Hancock, there is no contract. We don't want Hancock's half hour anymore.
You must be mad.
We are very grateful for the service you've given us, but all things must come to an end. Now, please go. And as a token of our appreciation of your 10 years with us, the Director General has asked me to present you with this.
Calendar. Is that all I'm worth? A calendar. With a picture of Wilfred Pickles ladling out bread and butter pudding at the Darby and Joan Club. You can't do this to me. I'm very popular. I'm a big star. The public aren't going to like this.
You were a star. Let's face it, you're past it now. Old hat. We want fresh, up-and-coming faces. You're worn out. Now, please leave us. We are very busy men.
Wait a minute. You can't get rid of me. You've got nothing to take me place. You can't have half an hour of bells of a Tuesday night.
We don't intend to. We have a replacement for you. A new program will be taking your place.
Starring who? Go on. Who can replace me?
Mr. Kerr.
Boom, 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 boom.
We present Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Atty Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in...
Kerr's half hour.
Rubbish! Rubbish, he can't do it. He's an idiot. Can't even read. Money down the drain. Sid, you're my agent. Do something. Tell them they can't do this.
Me, your agent? Do you mind? I don't have any has-beens on my books. I'm Mr. Kerr's agent. I signed him up.
As soon as he got the series?
Certainly.
Bill, we're old friends. I always had the greatest admiration for your intelligence. A man of great integrity and intellect. I've always said, you know that.
Get your arm off me shoulder.
Yes, certainly, of course, sorry. Where's that brush? There, that's it. You're a smart lad. I mean, you're quite content to work in my show, aren't you? You were badly written for.
Yeah, under your orders.
Yes, but things are different now. I'll see to that. You'll get much bigger parts, lots more jokes. Big laughs we used to have. Yes, we were always chums. Remember how I used to take you out to dinner after the show?
You've never taken me out to dinner in your life. You used to leave me outside in the rain just because I can't hold a knife and a spoon properly.
Oh, never. It was a joke, Bill.
For 3 years.
I never had anything against you. You eat as well as anybody. You can use a bowl and pusher as good as the rest of them. Look, Bill, my pal. Hancock and Kerr's half hour.
No.
Kerr and Hancock's half hour.
Don't listen to him, Mr. Kerr. You don't want old-timers like him in your show. Yeah, I can't stand hangers-on.
All right. Kerr's half hour. Wonderful. Be a huge success. You'll want somebody in it with you, supporting cast. You can fit me in there, can't you, Bill? Very experienced, funny voices, character parts, old men...
I'm 92.
Juvenile leads. Anyone for crumpets? Yorkshire.
Ah, what would be old darling? Ah,
Scots, hoots, monarch, away with a Hesperonian haggis and a woo, a hey, and a hey. Hey, hoo, hey, off, away, hey. And I'm cheap. I wouldn't cost you much. Just enough for a packet of cheap snouts and a bed.
Oh, get off the floor.
Certainly, Mr. Kerr. A brush for Mr. Kerr's boots. Never mind, I'll use my sleeve.
Look, Mr. Hancock, we are very busy. We've got a script conference for Mr. Kerr's per show. Now, would you mind leaving?
All right. All right, as you will. I shall leave. Still have my pride. At least we know now how the BBC treat their old faithful servants. Take note, William. Take note. When they've sucked you dry of all your talent. After a couple of programs. The same thing will happen to you. And I can only hope that you will bear yourself with as much dignity as I've shown.
Get off the floor.
Oh, yes, of course. At least one has remained faithful to me. My beloved and devoted secretary, Miss Pugh. Come, Griselda, let us go.
I'm stopping here. You'll be needing a new secretary, won't you, Mr. Kerr?
Oh, sure, sure. Stick around, kid. We're all going places.
Et tu, Pugh? Very well, but remember, he who travels alone travels last.
Faster.
Yes. I won't be down for long. I shall find work. An artist of my calibre won't be ignored for long. I shall return to the BBC, you mark my words. You keep your ears glued to that radio set because you'll be hearing my voice again. Farewell. I forgot my calendar.
This is the BBC Light Programme. For tonight's edition of Focus on London, we go over to our outside broadcasting unit, who are at this moment under the railway arches at Charing Cross Bridge, where the human driftwood of London huddle together every night, seeking warmth and shelter in order to get a few brief hours' sleep and eat any scraps of food they've managed to collect during the day. So over to Roger Braithwaite at Charing Cross.
Hello, listeners. This is Roger Braithwaite speaking to you from Charing Cross Embankment. And I am appalled that the scene before my eyes at this moment could happen in 20th century London. These poor wretches, without hope, without clothing, without food, desperately trying to keep alive. I persuaded one of them to say a few words. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Tony Hancock.
Tommy Hancock. I see. And tell me, Tommy, do you know what this is?
Yes, it's a microphone. I've seen a few of those in my time, I can tell you.
And tell me, Tommy, do you unfortunate wretches get any government grants at all?
No, no, not a penny.
Well, I think that's a shocking state of affairs. Disgraceful.
Yes.
Tommy, who do you blame for your present circumstances?
The BBC. I used to work for them, but they threw me out.
Yes, well, thank you. I'll pass on to the next unfortunate...
No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. Give me that microphone. Hello, listeners. Remember me? Tommy... Tony Hancock. I'm still alive. I'm here. Your old favourite whom you all loved. I'm still here. I told him I'd get back on the radio.
Get him away from here. Come on, get
yes.
him away.
Yes, old Tony Hancock, still as funny as ever. Good old Hancock's half hour. Everything happened to me as I was coming to the Arches. I went up to a man and said, can I have 10 bob for a cup of coffee? And he said,
get him away from here. Get him away. Get the microphone away.
Let go. And he said, that's a lot of money for a cup of coffee. Get your hands off me. Get off. Get your hands off me. And I said, here we go. I said, I leave big tips. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. Let go.
And as the last of the older school of radio comics sinks slowly in the west, we return you to the studio.
Help! Help! Help!
You've been listening to Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. The show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton. The program, which was recorded, was produced by Tom Ronald.